You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So in the past few months following Auckland's long lockdowns, the city saw a boom in graffiti on public structures. This has led to a lot of discussion about the art form and its place in our cultural zeitgeist. While everyone from artists to politicians agree that graffiti on private residential property is vandalism, the conversation of painting on public structures like bridges and trains has been a bit more divided. So I spoke with experts from all realms of the graffiti world to try and understand why this discussion is taking place. I started by talking to Auckland graffiti artist Capo to get his perspective on the matter. As an artist, why do you feel like graffiti is a marginalized art form?
That's a good question. Well, basically, I think that the council, the people that make laws, like kind of a group graffiti, like they kind of see graffiti as like adjacent to crime, like they associate graffiti with crime, you know, like with other kinds of like actual crime. And because it comes from like poor areas, and oftentimes writers themselves are people that often feel marginalized, which is kind of a bit of motivation, I guess, for it to just be recognized by people for their art, I guess. It's all about being recognized.
You were just sort of saying about the fact that, you know, to many it is a crime, and right now graffiti is a crime. Why is public property destruction a necessary part of creating graffiti?
Well, that's the thing, is that it isn't really necessary, like, at all. Like, public property does often get vandalized, like, because people, part of graffiti is going and just writing your name up on whatever wall you can find, but it's absolutely not necessary. As seen, I know there's a couple of places in Auckland, just walls where people are allowed to go and like paint whatever they want, and then it gets painted over by other artists. But then a lot of the time as well, like store owners will let people go and do pieces on the side of their stores, and it's all consensual. And like, so it's not entirely necessary to face public property to create artwork and add to a city's culture.
Because to many people who are in graffiti, they sort of say it is an essential part, and that's sort of the main idea of it. But you know, you're sort of saying that it's not. You can sort of just do it, you know, with permission as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, getting permission is kind of what people want, because not everyone is like outright against graffiti, because there's some bloody talented artists out there, and like, not all graffiti is scrawls and bombs and, as we call it, just tags and that kind of thing. And like, people appreciate good artwork, except I think the general population's main concern with it is that a lot of the time it does just kind of go over public property and just destroy what people have. But some good artists out there, and people appreciate good artwork, and if it's all consensual, if you get permission to go and do it, like, it's not really hurting anyone.
So if, I guess, society as a whole and the council and even the police were to accept it more, I guess, because a lot of people say that the quality of graffiti in Auckland is quite ugly, and a lot of the tagging to some looks quite bad. Do you think that if there was more of a wider acceptance by society and government in general, that the quality of the art would improve?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean, a big part of getting respect within the graffiti community is making nice pieces. So, like, you're going to get way more respect for doing a high-quality work of art than you are just scrawling your name somewhere. So, and like we've discussed earlier, basically people don't really care about the quality of their art when it's just taken down within a couple of hours. They just try to do as much as they can in a short space of time. But if it were to stay up for longer, I think we would see a general increase in the quality of graffiti around the city.
I then spoke to Dr. Reuben Woods, an author, historian and expert on graffiti, for a more academic perspective. If we look at cities like Melbourne, there's been a massive, I guess, embracing of graffiti as an art form. The police are less harsh on it, and the council there spends less money on its removal. If a similar thing were to happen in Auckland or New Zealand in general, do you think that the quality of art would improve?
I would like to think so, largely because graffiti has something of an internalized code. Like, it's honor code in some regards, which suggests that the better quality work is more revered. So therefore, that freedom for things to exist would most likely see the better work come to the foreground, and that sort of level of respect would be maintained. That said, of course, the reality is that there are as many outliers to any point about graffiti as there are affirmations. There are as many different attitudes and intentions as there are practitioners in many ways. So I like to think that it would be the case, but reality can sometimes throw surprises into the mix, I guess. You know that largely from experience, the spaces where graffiti has been allowed to more freely exist, you do tend to see the sort of the more bold, more detailed, more impressive works come to the foreground, come to the forefront, and maintain a position more. Eventually, you know, as with all things that are ephemeral, they are subject to overriding or eradication in some form, but it does seem that better quality work maintains a higher level of respect and honour. So there is definitely the potential for that to be the outcome in that situation.
I guess a big reason why a lot of people are turned off by graffiti is the whole idea that you are defacing public property. Is that a necessary part of creating art, or can graffiti be done without this aspect?
I think that's one of the terms you use there. It sort of actually goes some way to answering that. And it relates to my comment just before about the varied intentions. For some people, graffiti is an art form focused on the manipulation of letters within a form of style that has developed over generations of graffiti writers. For others, though, it is a social act. It's a declaration that you can contest and disrupt the surrounding environment, proclaim your existence, and you know, be seen in a world that often can feel like we're ignored. In those two cases, sometimes that idea of the motivation of art varies, whether or not the aesthetics are viewed in the same way, because there is always an aesthetic to graffiti. No piece of graffiti, or at least no piece of style writing graffiti, has no consideration of aesthetics. There are just different levels, I guess, in terms of how that's conceived or perceived. So I think, you know, the question of sort of art or crime becomes quite interesting. For some people, you know, it's the effect that a piece of graffiti can have on shocking or disrupting sort of everyday routines and the entering the consciousness, I guess, of people passing by. For other people, it's about creating something that is quite beautiful and concerned with a specific sort of aesthetic. So again, that comes back to placement of work, you know, where work occurs, and the intention of the artist. So I guess, you know, that idea of an artistic value can vary greatly depending on who is behind the piece.
And how does graffiti add cultural significance to cities around the world?
Well, for me, you know, one of the best explanations I've heard was from ASCII One many years ago now, in a documentary, where he said, you know, that cities are made up of collections of voices. Cities aren't made up of a hive mind. They are made up of literally hundreds of thousands and millions of individual voices. Graffiti is essentially a reflection of that. So in many ways, it's the most honest reflection of the culture of a city, because it is the sign of an individual exercising their sense of existence, of ability to contribute to that surrounding environment. We often end up being quite passive, I guess, in that we receive the information that is put out to us. And graffiti gives it the potential to sort of bite back. So it's a very clear reflection, I guess, of the makeup of any city where it's occurring, because we are a range of individual voices that come together in a loud, I guess, din And yeah, graffiti for me is a representation of those identities in a very honest, direct way. In terms of culture, of course, then when you're starting to talk about that idea of these individuals and smaller communities, that is obviously going to reflect culture because various influences are going to become apparent in the way that works are produced, in the visual language that's employed, that will ultimately reflect a city's culture and concerns at any one time. I personally always tend to explore cities in the way, explore cities through the graffiti and the forms of art that occur in its environment. That for me is just the way that I sort of get a feeling for what a place is like. I guess it's developed through my interest, but I feel like it is, a good way to get a picture of who lives in these places and who's been in these places. It provides a sense of activity and history. These are evidence of people having been in these places at any one moment in time. So in many ways, I think that's an important representation of a city as well, and that these places are always in flux and always in transit in some ways. So that sort of one moment of time frozen on a wall is also quite powerful.
I finished by speaking with Auckland Councillor Shane Henderson to get the council's perspective on graffiti in the city. Auckland Council spends roughly $4.8 million a year on graffiti removal. What is behind this massive crackdown on just graffiti in terms of like public graffiti, not on private property?
Yeah, I think we need to make a distinction first between graffiti is public art. So graffiti art, which is a fantastic medium, and it's something that we've actually invested a lot through our town centres across Auckland, and actual graffiti that's sort of less condoned, shall I say. And I think what's behind it really is a broken windows theory that if you're getting a bunch of graffiti within a place, that's obviously going to have a lot of people making complaints and feeling quite upset about it, the amenity value of the area, but also it can lead to sort of other things. It can lead to sort of a feeling that your community is being neglected and it's it needs investment and needs some care. So I think we got to get in there and we've got to get our graffiti sorted as quickly as we can. I just know there's been a lot of issues on this recently, and a lot of residents have been very upset with some of the increase in graffiti at the moment. I like to think that we're starting to get on top of it now, and that's what we need to do.
When you look at other cities in New Zealand, so for instance, Wellington City Council spends around $450,000 on graffiti removal, and Christchurch spends $800,000. Why does Auckland spend such a disproportionate amount compared to other major cities in New Zealand?
I think there's a couple of things there. So firstly, Auckland's much larger than Christchurch and Wellington. So of course, we're going to spend a lot more money keeping it clean and keeping its amenity value in place. But also, I think there's public demand there. I think people really do feel that we should be getting on top of it and getting it sorted. And so we tend to spend where public demand goes, and I think that's what a democratic organisation should do.
In overseas cities like Melbourne and Berlin, councils and police have sort of taken a step back, and they've embraced graffiti, and it's become part of the cultural aesthetic in those cities. It's turned the cities into central hubs for street art and culture in general. Why is this currently not desirable for Auckland?
Yeah, I think Auckland's got an interesting journey to that in terms of embracing graffiti. I think we actually do embrace graffiti as a public art form. And, I'm calling you from Henderson right now, where there are murals all over the place with graffiti art that we actually invested in as a city, and it looks absolutely beautiful. I think there's definitely a place for that. But what we're talking about necessarily in terms of that spend is not the artistic side of it. And I think we really need to make that distinction.
That was Capo, Dr. Reuben Woods and Shane Henderson on graffiti in Auckland.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.